11 runs and a scoreless outing from Luis Castillo made for a pretty good night at T-Mobile Park. Yes, it was against the A's, but who cares? We'll give you our thoughts on the game coming up here on the Locked On Mariners podcast. Colby, hit it.
You are Locked On Mariners, your daily Seattle Mariners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Ahoy, sailors. It is Tuesday, May 23rd, 2023. This is Ty Gonzalez and Colby Patnett for the Locked On Mariners podcast, brought to you by HelloFresh. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. Go to HelloFresh.com/MLB60 and use promo code MLB60 for 60% off plus free shipping. Thank you so much for making us your first listen. Subscribe, like, and turn on alerts if you're watching on YouTube. Or subscribe and leave a five-star review on your preferred podcast platform if you like what you hear. And if you're part of the crew and rock with us every single day and like the new look of the show, let us know in the comments below. And if you want to hear from us even more, please consider signing up for our Patreon. The link as well as our social accounts is in the description of this episode. And on this episode, we have a very fun Mariners win to talk about. We'll talk about Luis Castillo's night, get you set for game two of the series a little later on. But Colby, let's start by talking about this offense. 11 runs on 13 hits, multi-hit games for Ty France, Julio Rodriguez, Jared Kelnick, and Eugenio Suarez. And of course, Jose Caballero with the big three-run home run to make it 5-0 early on in this one. Where do you want to start with this offense?
Can we start by asking people to stop comparing Jose Caballero to Jose Altuve?
He is Jose Altuve.
Only in the sense that their first names are both Jose. Like, that's literally the only...
He's Jose Altuve. Jared Kelnick is Barry Bonds. These are the rules, Colby.
Okay. Wouldn't it make more sense then if Jared Kelnick was Kyle Tucker?
He's Barry Bonds. Okay, he's Jerry Bonds, rather. Jerry Bonds. Sorry.
Sure. Whatever. Yeah, in regards to the offense last night... A lot of hard hit balls, which is obviously great. Nice little stat here. You know, they struck out only eight times, and they walked five. So that is controlling the zone much better than they have in the past, minus Teoscar, who added yet another three strikeout game to his resume. That's a lot. It's a lot. But yeah, you know, other than Teo, everybody got on base at least once. So that's good. And obviously, you know, the big story of the night was the Julio Rodriguez and Jared Kelnick show, who looked like, you know, what Mariners fans have dreamed about for the last, four years now since they've all been in the org. So yeah, it's nice to see. Yes, it's against Oakland. Yes, you have to kind of take it with, you know, with a grain of salt, but it was still good. Like, I mean, knock it down, it doesn't really matter, because at the end of the day these two guys had really good games in the same major league baseball game, and as a result, surprise, the Mariners offense looked really good. It's funny what happens when Julio actually gets on base. There seems to be a direct correlation between Julio having a good game and the Mariners offense having a good game. Who would have guessed? Crazy, right? But yeah, so it was nice to see. It really was. Julio and Jared, and they kind of overshadow, rightfully so, Ty France, who had a pretty decent game. He was on base four times as well. Eugenio had three RBI, just missed a home run to dead center field. Cal Raleigh just missed a home run as well. And yeah, Caballero, of course, with the big three-run bomb, home runs on back-to-back days. So yeah, just a really good, you scored 11 runs. It's a great offensive performance, regardless of who you do it against. And, last night it was fun. It was a good get right game after your offense has really struggled, to score runs, particularly in Boston, after the blowout win. That was a little frustrating, but, yeah, it's a good get right game, for a lot of people. And obviously, you know, again, Julio finally getting rewarded with hard contact, and then also having some luck go his way with the first double. So yeah, it was a great night. Very, very little to complain about, but that doesn't mean I can't. So don't test me.
The Mariners needed this one, and it felt good. Felt good to watch Julio and Jared go a combined 6-for-8, three extra base hits, including a two-run home run from Jared Kelnick off a lefty again. you able to take us through that home run a little bit?
He hit it far.
Okay.
I mean, he got into a good hitter's count. He got a pitch that was, you know, down the middle of the plate, and a pitch that he should handle pretty regularly, and he did. And you see the immense power of Jared Kelnick in that that wasn't just a 400, you know, 10-foot home run to straightaway center field. It was a charged up 455-foot home run at 112 off the bat, which is, again, tremendous raw power. We know Kelnick has that. He's doing it against lefties. You actually feel better about Kelnick facing a lefty right now than you do a righty, because right now Kelnick's biggest weakness, without question, is that right-handed changeup low and away. Well, lefties don't have that pitch. And so, and Kelnick's not bailing out on anything right now. He's staying right up the middle. And it is pretty interesting that Kelnick's two longest home runs this year, both to straightaway dead center field, which shows, you know, just how immense the power is. So, yeah, you know, it was good. Kelnick's kind of been sliding a bit. He's still been fine. You know, we talked about this yesterday on our Patreon show. Despite the obvious regression from Kelnick in the month of May, he was still at 107 WRC plus for the month, which obviously went up after last night's game. So yeah, Kelnick, he touched it up. It was, you know, exactly what you want. Get into a hitter's count, get a good pitch to hit, don't miss it. Kelnick did all that. And then you can see this, the talent is evident in the fact that, you know, the pitch that he hit went 455 feet, which is not easy for anybody to do.
On the downside of things, Teoscar Hernandez with another 3+ strikeout game. He now has more 3+ strikeout games than he did all of last year in his final year with the Blue Jays. Overall, though, you know, Teo's been a bit better as of late, so hopefully he can get back on track tonight. We'll talk about that game a little later on, but first up, we're going to be talking about Luis Castillo, who was able to get back on track last night at T-Mobile Park. Talking about him in just a moment, but real quick, a reminder, this episode of Locked On Mariners is brought to you by So Rare. Our new sponsor, So Rare, is a revolutionary fantasy baseball game and marketplace transforming fans into owners with officially licensed digital cards featuring players from across all 30 Major League Baseball teams. And unlike other fantasy baseball platforms, So Rare managers truly own their fantasy experience, collecting, buying, selling, and competing with player cards against global opponents to win epic rewards. Win or lose, you still own your cards and there's no cost to play. Plus, the more you win, the more you advance, collecting increasingly powerful cards and accessing next-level competitions and rewards. So Rare MLB game weeks happen twice weekly and span a 3-4 day cycle. And at the end of game week, So Rare MLB managers who rank at or near the top of their leaderboards win a variety of rewards, which can include So Rare scarcity cards, game tickets, merchandise, signed jerseys, and VIP experiences like meeting MLB stars. Prizes may vary depending on the competition. Head to SoRare.com/LockedOn, that's spelled SoRare.com, to draft your team of free player cards, set your lineup, and start competing today to win epic rewards. Again, that's SoRare.com/LockedOn to start playing today. And you're listening to the Locked On Mariners podcast. Thank you again for making us your first listen. You can catch the Mariners and the A's on the Mariners hometown broadcast tonight with SiriusXM via the SXM app, 6:40 first pitch Pacific time. Let's talk about Luis Castillo. Scoreless outing for Castillo. It's been a rough one. His last five starts, especially that last one out at Fenway Park, but he goes 6-inning pitch, 0 runs, 4 hits, 8 strikeouts, 2 walks on 101 pitches, just 6 hard hit balls on the entire night. What did you see out of Castillo, Colby?
Yeah, the first thing that jumps out is the velocity on the four-seamer. Last night, he didn't throw a four-seamer that was slower than 95.8 miles an hour. Hit 99 multiple times. His fastball sat 96 to 99 for the entire night. And yeah, it's pretty easy to see through 41 four seamers. He got 27 swings and, you know, Oakland whiffed on 13 of them. Basically half of the four seamers that they swung at, they missed. In fact, in through the first 3 innings, Luis Castillo got 6 whiffs on the 8 four seamers that Oakland swung. And that was the first six four seamers that Oakland swung at, they missed. So the fastball 8 again at the top of the zone. And he really just, you know, dominated with the fastball. But that wasn't to say his other pitches were more useful. He actually threw the changeup this time more than that was his number one secondary. 27% of the time. He, you know, 9 swings on it, 4 whiffs. That's a good ratio. Also got 3 called strikes on it, which is important. Again, called strikes and whiffs, they're both valuable because they're both strikes that have no chance to damage you whatsoever. So, yeah, the changeup was really good. He also got three whiffs on the sinker, which, you know, was also 95 to 98 on the two seamer with that ridiculous run. I think they miscategorized a changeup as a four seamer because they say that, or a sinker, because StatCast says that his slowest sinker was 90 miles an hour. There was no fastball that Luis Castillo was throwing that was less than 95 last night. And that includes the two seamer. Yeah. And he got, you know, only three whiffs on 11 swings on that pitch, but he did get four called strikes, which is huge. And then the slider, you know, it didn't get put in play once by Oakland. He didn't throw it all that much, 13% of the time. But he did get two whiffs on the four swings and he got three called strikes with it. So, you know, overall 102 pitches, 67 strikes, lot of whiffs, 22 whiffs in this game. I think that's a career high for Castillo, or certainly a Mariners career high for Castillo, and plenty of called strikes, 16 called strikes, 38% called strike plus whiff rate. And like you said, only six hard hit balls when they actually did put something in play. Castillo was great last night. The only thing that I noticed is he's still missing arm side when he goes from the stretch. There's still something just a little bit off there mechanically, but obviously it was much better than his previous four outings. And yeah, you know, it's Oakland again. So obvious caveat there, but again, Oakland has some guys who are hitting right now. And also Castillo couldn't beat Oakland last year, like at all. So there was a possibility that he was going to go out there and struggle, and we'll see. Ultimately, I think his next start will be against, Pittsburgh. And then I think he's going to start the last game against the Yankees is how the schedule lines up. I could be off a day there, but those next two outings will be pretty telling. So I think we'll just have to wait and see how he looks going forward, but it was certainly a step in the right direction. And man, that fastball just popped all night long.
I think he's slated to start the second game of the Pirate series, which I think, cause that's a 3-game series, right? And then the Yankee series is a 3-game series.
They might just miss them.
Yeah. So I think he misses them by a day.
Should be illegal. Luis Castillo should always pitch against the Yankees.
Yeah. Been pretty good against them in the past. Yeah. So you mentioned, you know, the issues with him in the stretch. That's obviously been a problem area for him. We've talked about that a little bit, especially over his last five starts. Could you dive into that a little bit more? I know you talked about how he's missing arm side. Just what are you seeing overall there from Castillo out of the stretch right now?
Yeah, you know, it's tough to say. Last night, the velocity was fine out of the stretch, which is good. I think it's more of just, again, it's some kind of mechanical issue. Either his shoulder's flying open a little bit, or his arm is lagging behind the rest of his motion. There's just something that's a little bit off. It's something that you can tweak. I think the good news is that it doesn't appear that Castillo was tipping his pitches, or if he was, then the Mariners have figured that out and they made a change, because the A's were not ambushing the fastball like we saw Boston do, like we've seen St. Louis do, like we've seen the last few times out, teams have just ambushed the fastball. And when they got on base, Castillo, again, from the stretch, not nearly as effective. So Oakland didn't do that. Maybe they just, you know, maybe it's just because they're Oakland, but it seems to me to indicate that no, it wasn't a pitch tipping thing, or if it was, Castillo's got that figured out. But yeah, from the stretch, the only thing different this year from last year that I see is he doesn't do that little leg kick thing before he comes set. He's not allowed to this year. And I just wonder, maybe that's causing him to fly open a little bit. But it's tough to say, you know, again, I'm not a pitching guy. I'm not a swing guy. So unless it's something pretty egregious, I'm not going to notice it. But yeah, it nobody seems that concerned by it. And again, it was better last night, but it is something to watch going forward, especially against better lineups. He'll have to have that ironed out, but we'll see. Again, it was better last night, but I did notice a few times that, you know, the two seamer was really riding arm side pretty hard, and he spiked a couple of breaking balls when he tries to overcorrect. So just something's not in sync when he doesn't have his full windup going.
Game two between the Mariners and the A's tonight at 6:40 p.m. Pacific. Mariners trying to get back to 500 tonight. Marco Gonzalez going on the bump against Luis Medina. We'll get you ready for that one in just a moment. But real quick, a reminder, this episode of Locked On Mariners is brought to you by FanDuel. Grand slams, no hitters, and double plays are back, and there's no better place to get in on the MLB action than FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from who goes home with a win to the result of the very first pitch. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. So don't miss your chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. And bonus bets when you go to fanduel.com/lockedon. That's fanduel.com/LOCKEDON to learn more. FanDuel, an official partner of Major League Baseball. And you're listening to the Locked On Mariners podcast. Thank you again for making us your first listen. Game two between the Mariners and the A's kicks off at 6:40 p.m. Pacific tonight. You can catch all the action on the Mariners hometown broadcast with SiriusXM via the SXM app. Marco Gonzalez against Luis Medina. Former Yankees prospect who made his way over to Oakland and what the Frankie Montas deal, I believe. They've made quite a few deals with one another, so it's hard to keep track. What can you tell us about Medina, who right now 0-2 with a 6.88 ERA?
Yeah, Medina, pretty good stuff. It's a four-seamer, slider, changeup, curveball, basic four-pitch four-pitch repertoire. Throws a lot of fastballs. 53%
fastball. You put some stank on that, by the way. Repertoire.
Yeah, I always, I never know if I should say repertoire or arsenal.
It was good. I liked it.
Yeah. But yeah, mostly fastball. 53% fastball. Slider is the go-to secondary pitch, although he does mix in the curveball and the changeup. It's 19% slider, 16% curve, about 11.5% changeup. So, you know, mostly fastball, but he will mix it up. The issue right now with Medina is that the slider and the curveball are trash. Like, they're not good. Opponents this year against the curveball are hitting 333 with a 1,000 slug. And against the slider, opponents are hitting 273 with a 636 slug. To be fair to him, the fastball, not much better. But yeah, the slider does have swing and miss ability to it, though. It does have a 50% whiff rate. The curveball does have, you know, 36% whiff rate. Fastball just 9%. So you should be able to put the fastball in play with some regularity here. He doesn't really have control issues. He's fine in the walk department, but it's not great command. That's part of the issue. It's a good fastball velo. He certainly gets a pretty good spin on it as well. He's just in the middle of the plate a lot. He's wildly inconsistent, and he tends to wear down as he gets deeper into starts. So, it's going to be pretty good stuff overall, but he is going to make mistakes. He doesn't have great command, and the Mariners are going to have opportunities to score runs off of him. We'll see. You know, I think it's pretty easy to say that, you know, if Julio Rodriguez has a pretty good game against this guy, I think the Mariners probably have a good chance to win. Sure. But yeah, like I said, it's the four pitches. He mixes all the off speed pitches relatively the same. Can get swing and miss on the breaking stuff. Fastball, good velo, not elite velo or anything like that. And he actually, yeah, he just doesn't get a lot of chases, doesn't get a lot of whiffs, he gets barreled up. So it's just poor command right now. It's stuff over command, but he will be around the strike zone, which is, you know, good. Actually, it helps.
Feels redundant to ask you about your thoughts on Marco Gonzalez, but what would you deem as a success for him tonight?
Six innings, three or less runs.
Yeah.
Like, just give your guys a shot. Give your offense a shot. Like I said, Medina will be around the plate. He will leave pitches in the middle of the plate. Sometimes that doesn't matter for the Mariners. So
sure,
we'll see. Hopefully tonight it does. But yeah, you just got to give your team a shot to win. Nobody's expecting anything, you know, sensational out of Marco. Just continue to really, you know, pound that the changeup. Ditch the cutter, ignore the cutters, don't use the cutter, and he's done a pretty good job of that so far. But typically Marco bounces back from bad starts. We know he'll have them, but it's very rare where he goes back-to-back bad starts, and this Oakland lineup is pretty aggressive, so it should give him a pretty good opportunity to go relatively deep in this game. And if not, the bullpen is pretty well rested. So just find a way to keep Seattle in the game. Don't lose the game in the first three innings. And I think Marco has a shot to be, you know, pretty good tonight, at least back to what he was prior to the start in Boston.
How bummed out are you that the Mariners can't play the A's 19 times a year anymore?
Yeah, it would help. But then again, you know, Texas and Houston and LA would also get to play them seven more times. So,
yeah. Yeah, I guess
it seems like it'd be a wash.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I guess what the question is what do you prefer over the other? Having to face the Mets, the Dodgers, the Phillies, the Braves, et cetera, every single year, or facing the Astros, Rangers, Angels seven more times a year each?
Yeah. I don't really care. I think it all kind of evens out, to be honest. But
sure.
I don't know. I like that they're going to play every team every year. I think that's pretty cool, at least from a fan perspective. From a, you know, my team has to travel a lot more than it ever did before perspective. And that's really unfair. It's not good, but yeah, it's just geography. I mean,
right.
As much as we want to blame Major League Baseball for a lot, and we can, the location of Seattle is not one of them relative to the other teams in this league. So, yeah.
Why don't they, you know, push it somewhere else? Like Rob Manfred and the boys. Go up to Seattle and just push Seattle somewhere else.
You really want Seattle to not be where it is right now? Really? It's a pretty good location, Ty. It's a pretty good location.
It's a good location. It is a good location.
Yeah.
I mean, they could push it closer to Toronto. I'd be down for that.
But then wouldn't that just be like Winnipeg?
I mean, if it's still...
I don't know the provinces.
We're not getting into Canadian... geography on here.
That feels more like a control the zone thing.
Yeah.
Which you can subscribe to.
That's right. Link in the description below, folks. Subscribe now. $5 a month gets you access to four more episodes of us talking Mariners baseball and other things as well. It's pretty unhinged. Eight.
$5 a month gets you eight.
Well, I'm saying per week. Oh, two episodes. I can't do math. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you get eight extra episodes per month at the tier two or tier three level. And yes, Ty and I talk a lot of Mariners, but we also talk about whatever the heck we want. So check it out. But
gets pretty unhinged.
It does.
And you can hear me fail at math more than like that. So if you enjoyed that little blunder, subscribe.
Yesterday we talked about youth baseball for like 20 minutes. So
we did. We did.
It was nice. But I do have something I want to address here because I noticed this in the I noticed this. I was cleaning out the mailbag yesterday. Okay. And people were asking questions about, you know, Dylan Moore comes back, blah, 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 right? And obviously the tweet I sent you that was since deleted. We're not going to get into that, but I just kind of added more fuel to the fire here because there seems to be this like growing number of Mariner fans who are convinced that when Dylan Moore is ready, you have to DFA Colton Wong. And I'm wondering if you guys know that Sam Haggerty is still on this roster. I understand it'd be easy to forget that. I really do. Since, you know, he just appeared for the first time yesterday in like a week to pinch run for A. Eugenio Suarez in the top of the ninth. But I ask this sincerely to those of you who think that Colton Wong should be the guy who's DFA'd. Have you lost your minds? Like, are you there? Because to me, what this reads as is that I know Sam Haggerty sucks, but he was good for me for like a week and a half. And that's more than Colton Wong has ever done for me. So I want Sam Haggerty here. It seems like you want Ham Swaggerty more than you want Sam Haggerty.
Right.
But they're the same person. And right now, Ham Swaggerty sucks as much as Sam Haggerty. And they're worthless to this ball club. Let's go over the reasons, right? What is the reason Sam Haggerty would be here over Colton Wong? Well, Haggerty can play more positions. How important is that when you have Dylan Moore back? Can Dylan Moore play shortstop? Yes. Can he play second? Yes. Can he play third? Yes. Can he play first? Yes. Can he play the outfield? Yes. So he can play everywhere Haggerty can. But by the way, let's say hypothetically, the Mariners don't want to play Dylan Moore in the outfield. They've said that before. They want to keep him focused in the infield. Okay, fine. Here's a list of players you would much rather have playing in the outfield on any kind of regular basis than Sam Haggerty. Julio Rodriguez, Jared Kelnick, Teoscar Hernandez, AJ Pollock, Taylor Trammell, and we'll throw Dylan Moore in there too. So Sam Haggerty is at best the seventh outfielder on this roster. With a 2 week, like what, legitimately, what is it? A 3 week track record of hitting major league pitching with any consistency, maybe roughly a month if you want to stretch it out. Colton Wong has a 10 year track record of being able to hit major league pitching. So, okay. On top of all that, if you really love Sam Haggerty as much and you think he can help this Mariners team, how is he helping them by sitting on the bench, you know, for 50 essentially of the 54 innings that they play in a week on average? He's not. So if you really want to help Sam Haggerty, you send him down to AAA where he can play every day, and then you call him back up in a month when you could still DFA Colton Wong if he's not hitting by then.
Sure. Yeah.
There's literally zero reasons, unless you want to make some up, zero reasons that Colton Wong shouldn't be on this roster, but Sam Haggerty should be. Zero. They do not exist. Your versatility argument, stupid. Your Colton Wong's not hitting argument, have you seen Sam Haggerty? Stupid. Your made up, there might be Jesse Winker in the clubhouse reasons, stupid. And also really dangerous with your platform. Do better. You know who I'm talking to. So, yeah, all your reasons for saying Sam Haggerty should be on this roster over Colton Wong, they're stupid. They're all stupid. I haven't heard a good one yet. Ty, you have a good reason?
I do not.
I do want to dispute the
fact that Sam Haggerty and Ham Swaggerty are the same person, though. I mean, are Ted Lasso and Led Tasso the same person?
Yes. Yes, they are.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, they are. So, yeah. Stop it. This idolizing of like fringe major leaguers that Mariner fans do sometimes really annoys me. It's just, you can't possibly move on from Sam Haggerty. He's got a cool name and he runs fast. This is the same thing that led you guys to think Willie Bloomquist should be in the lineup every day for a decade. Willie Bloomquist had a career WAR of 1. He played for 15 years. He wasn't good. Goat. And neither is Sam Haggerty. I've been telling you guys this since the offseason. And God forbid you say, Colby was probably right about that one. No, we had to DFA Colton Wong instead, who has a literal decade-long track record of being at least an average bat in the big leagues. And, by the way, was well above average last year and the year before that, and was starting to hit before the wrist injury crept up. So am I saying Colton Wong could get starts over Jose Caballero? Yeah, some. You're not playing Caballero 7 days a week. That cannot be the plan.
Right.
It can be for in the short term.
But it's like Jose Altuve.
Yeah, sure. Because that totally works every single time. Yeah. So in the nicest way I could put this to the Sam Haggerty supporters out there, you're not stupid, but you're acting stupid and you're being stupid. Right. So walks like a duck, talks like a duck. I don't know. Do some self-reflection there. Sam Haggerty is a nobody. He's replaceable. In fact, he's below replacement level right now. And he doesn't even have a track record to back up. Like, he just has to do this. No, because he had 1 month where he was an above average major league player. What has he been the rest of his career? A quad A, back and forth. We need a pinch runner, so we'll put him on the roster for a week. That's who Sam Haggerty is.
You're going to get eaten alive for this.
I don't care. Bring it on. Yeah. Because everybody who leaves the little comments below, Sam Haggerty's amazing or whatever, it's just tick, I know you're an idiot. Tick, I know you're an idiot. It's so easy. There's no reason. There's zero reason for Sam Haggerty to be on this roster when Dylan Moore comes back.
I do agree with that, yes.
Literally none.
Yeah.
You're just making yourself look like an idiot by trying to make it so. I'm sorry you don't like Colton Wong. I'm sorry he disappointed you. But from the sounds of it, it sounds like he like T-boned you on the highway and now you're out for revenge because now you can't taste oranges anymore. What is your deal, man? Get over it. Sam Haggerty has no place on this roster. None. You know what? If Sam Haggerty never played another game for the Mariners, you know who wouldn't be sad? This guy. Okay, I don't care. If he does, great. If Sam Haggerty goes down to AAA and he hits and he comes back and you get another month out of Sam Haggerty, fantastic. Awesome. Cool. You're not doing it on May 25th or whenever they call up Dylan Moore. Stop it. You're being stupid. Accept reality for what it is.
Sure.
Back to you, Ty.
I just want to address something quickly on Colton Wong before we hop off here. By all accounts, the guy is great. Clubhouse guy. I can't imagine that he's causing any issues in there. And I agree with Colby that assuming that he's like other players that may have come through the Mariners clubhouse over the years and didn't necessarily fit, it's a bit dangerous. And so, I don't have any concerns about how Wong right now is handling his demotion, if you will, and fitting in the clubhouse, because again, by all accounts, great guy. Who's pretty selfless and all about the team. You know, at least that's a reputation that he built for himself before coming to Seattle. So maybe that's changed. I don't know, but I'm not there. So I'm not going to make any assumptions. On that.
It's not going to change because one guy says my gut feeling is that he's not a rah, rah guy. So he might be a problem like Jesse Winker, because I really want to push this narrative that Jose Altuve is actually wearing a Mariners uniform and his name is Jose Caballero. Stop it. Be better. Anyways.
No show tomorrow. We'll be back on Thursday. Not a day game, so it's probably just going to be a regular timed show. So I don't know when we'll do our next post-game show. Maybe sometime on the weekend. We'll see. Also, again, you can catch tonight's game between the Mariners and the A's on the Mariners Hometown Broadcast with SiriusXM via the SXM app. That's going to do it for our show. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Locked On Mariners podcast. For Colby Patnode, I'm Ty Dan Gonzalez. Be sure to give us a follow on Twitter at @LO_Mariners. You can follow me at Dane Gonzalez, at CaneGNZLZ, and Colby at CPAT11, that's CPAT11. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok as well over at Locked On Mariners. That's one word, Locked On Mariners. You can also find all that stuff in the description of this episode. And thank you again for making us your first listen. Have yourself a beautiful baseball day, and we'll see you on Thursday. Peace.